I mostly grew up in Nebraska, and when I was starting high school, my family moved to Montana. I was starting my freshman year. That summer, I was really by myself because we lived out about 12 miles from where the school was, and nobody else lived around us. We're out in the countryside. And then when I started school that fall, I had the experience of going into the high school as a freshman. And do you know how many other people I knew in that school? Zero. There were about 1,500 students in the school. I didn't know one of them. I was totally by myself in a new situation. And then when I went to college, you know, many people have had a similar experience going to college. Some of you are lucky. You go to college, you already know some people who are there, maybe relatives or maybe people from our church, and there's a little group of somebody, some people that you know. I didn't have that luck. There was one girl from my high school that was going to the same college, but it's a big high school, right? I didn't know her at all. And so I didn't see her even once when I was on campus my freshman year. So once again, freshman year, I went to California. I'd never in my life been to California before. I'd never seen the Pacific Ocean in my entire life. And now I was in California to go to college. And again, a lot of students. How many did I know? Zero. And if you think about your life, you may have had some times when you've had a similar experience. Maybe you went to a new school, or you moved to a new town, or some of you even moved to a new country, and maybe you arrived somewhere and you didn't know anybody in the whole city. Maybe you didn't know anybody in the whole state. And think about that experience. Today we're going to look at a passage that talks about people that have that kind of experience and what we can do for them. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And why don't I just read that for us to start with, and then we'll kind of look at some background before we get into this. Hebrews chapter 13. The first two verses. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Father, as we come before your presence this morning, we pray for Holy Spirit to nudge our hearts and stir our feelings, deepen our understanding. Help us, Lord, to be ready to hear the word you want to speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share a little background before we dive into this passage. And we want to look at the topic of hospitality or caring for strangers. Starting in the Old Testament, in the ancient world, you should imagine if you were traveling somewhere, probably you would be walking. And if you were pretty well off financially and successful in business, you might be able to ride a donkey. And you're traveling many long hours, the sun is starting to go down, and you come to the edge of a little village. There are no hotels, no motels, there's no Airbnb, there's you know, nowhere you can stay. And so you're hoping somebody in that town will say, "Hey, why don't you come and sleep at my house?" If that doesn't happen, then you'll take your cloak and maybe an extra blanket if you're lucky, and you'll curl up somewhere by the side of the road or in somebody's orchard, and you'll sleep there. You'll camp out under the stars, as they say, no tent. And that was pretty common. When people traveled from place to place in the ancient world, it was always very iffy when they needed a place to stay. I mean, after all, they didn't have the internet. They couldn't go online and reserve a place, even if a place existed. There were no phones. They really couldn't line up anything ahead of time in many cases, and so they would just come at dusk and say, "Well, I wonder where I'm going to sleep tonight." There's a story in Genesis chapter 18 about some people like that. This is about the life of Abram, who later became Abraham. And let me just read a few verses to you here, and then we'll kind of look at that. So this is from Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. It says, "He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself down to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the trees while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may pass on since you've come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So in this story, here's Abram, and he's by his tent, and he sees these three men come walking toward him. Now, at this point, he thinks these are just three guys who are just, you know, walking down the trail from one city to another, and they come near his tent, maybe towards the end of the day. Later, he finds out that, in fact, two of them are angels, and the other one is called the angel of the Lord, which we know is the pre-incarnate Christ. We know that when we read the end of the story. But at this point, Abram had no idea. He thought, well, here's three guys, three travelers, and he's in a pretty remote place. There's not like there's anywhere else they can stay. And so he doesn't, maybe they don't need to spend the night, but he says, hey, come and rest. I'll feed you a nice lunch, and then you can continue on your journey. People he's never met before. But he reaches out to them. He wants to show them hospitality. And, you know, in the ancient Hebrew culture, showing hospitality to people who were traveling, people who were passing through, people who were strangers, that was something that was very important. In fact, there's laws in the Old Testament law that forbid them from taking advantage of foreigners and people from out of town, which, of course, happens all over the world, even in our time. And so it was an important part of the Hebrew culture, of the Jewish culture. There's some other examples in the Old Testament. For example, when the two angels went into Sodom a chapter later, and Lot was there, once again, Lot says, oh, here's two guys that are on a trip. He didn't know they were angels at that point. He said, hey, why don't you stay at my house? People he's never met. And then another example would be when Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac, and they come into town, and before they even know who he is, Rebecca's family and her brother Laban invites him, why don't you come and stay with us? And that was a pretty common practice. That was a virtue. It was something that was very valuable in Old Testament times. And, you know, and then in the first century, in the time of the New Testament, the Romans had conquered the whole Mediterranean world, and so they had what they called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, which meant nobody was fighting because anybody who tried to raise an army and fight got clobbered by the Romans. So they were under Roman occupation, but as a result, it was peaceful, and the Romans built a lot of roads, and some of their roads still survive today. They were pretty good engineers, and so you see a picture like this where you can see the stones and the road is set, and it's pretty flat, it's pretty straight. That was built by the Romans. It's still there in Italy. And so the Romans built all these roads, and people began to travel a lot more than they had in the past because now it was safer to travel because of the Romans. And the Roman culture also valued hospitality. They considered it a virtue to give a place to stay to people who were traveling through town. And so, you know, once again, we see that in the Jewish culture. They had a high value on caring for travelers and for strangers, and especially for fellow Jews who were on their way to or from Jerusalem. They would get special treatment. And so it was part of their culture. The new Christians were the same way. In the New Testament, you know, we find numerous examples of the Christians showing hospitality to one another, placed a high value on it. I mean, after all, if you were going on a trip and you were passing through a small town or village, you didn't know people there, you didn't have relatives there, where could you stay? There weren't that many options. There were a few inns. Inn is kind of like a combination of a little hotel and a bar. And there were some inns, but they weren't really necessarily that great places for the Christians to stay. There's a lot of violence there. The prostitutes hung out there. And it might not be the place you'd want to take your family to spend the night. And so there weren't a lot of good options, and the Christians really valued providing hospitality to fellow Christians who they'd never met before and others who were passing through the town. We see a number of examples in the New Testament about hospitality. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, and then later he sent out 70 people, two by two. Do you remember that story? He sends them out to the surrounding area, and you look at the instructions he gives them. He expected them, when they came into town, to see if someone would offer them a place to stay and say, hey, why don't you stay at my house while you're here? And so they were looking for that. They were expecting that. And then after Jesus rose from the dead, he was appearing to a number of different disciples and groups of disciples. And one story is he's on the road to a little village called Emmaus, and he's walking along with these two disciples, and they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. They think, oh, he's just some guy walking down the road. And the story says that it's towards the end of the day. It's about dark. These guys have some place lined up to stay in Emmaus. Maybe they know somebody there. And they see this guy who's traveling, and it looks like he's going to keep walking in the dark down the road. They say, hey, buddy, why don't you come and stay with us? And later they found out that was Jesus, but at the time they didn't know that. And so once again, you know, this guy they just met on the road, they said, hey, why don't you come stay with us? We find another example in, when Peter goes to see Cornelius. First of all, he's staying in Joppa, which is a port city on the coast. He's staying in Joppa, and the angel sends the messenger, says he's staying with a guy called Simon, who's a tanner. He tans leather. And so, you know, again, somebody's hosting Peter. And then when Peter gets to see Cornelius, he spends a couple days, and where does he stay? He stays in Cornelius' house. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul often stayed with different people in the towns he visited. In Philippi, it talks about Lydia, who came to trust Christ for salvation, and then she said to Paul and his missions team, why don't you come and stay at my house? And so this is very, very common in the ancient world, in the Jewish world, and in the ancient Christian world, this idea of showing hospitality to people that you don't know. And so now let's come back to our passage, the New Testament teaching on hospitality, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, it's a series of short commands that are instructions for the Christian life. It's a little bit like the passage in Romans 12 we looked at a couple weeks ago, where it's just, and this one, and this one, and this one. It's just kind of a few bullet points. How do you live out the Christian life? And today we're only going to look at the first two. The first command in verse 1 is to let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. And brotherly love is actually a single Greek word made by putting together the word love, I think I have it here, the word love and the word brother. And that Greek word is a word you may have heard before, Philadelphia. We have a city named after this Greek word, and it means brotherly love. It's the kind of love that you would have for your siblings. It's the kind of love that you would have within your family, the kind of caring. And in a healthy family, I know sometimes there's a lot of drama in families because we're human and we're fallen, but in a healthy family relationship, brothers and sisters really care for each other. And that's the kind of love that we should have for each other as Christians, because we are spiritual brothers and sisters. And so it uses this word brotherly love, and this first command says, let brotherly love continue. Why? Because the writer of Hebrews is assuming that people already are showing this kind of love to one another, that it already exists, that it should be a natural thing as part of the community to show this love for one another. Jesus said, one of the signs by which the outside world would know that we're his followers is that we love one another. So it's a normal and natural part of the Christian life to have this kind of love for each other. And so the writer to Hebrews doesn't say, well, you need to start loving one another. No, he says, let it continue. Keep on showing this kind of love for each other. That's important. That's something we shouldn't neglect. Keep on doing it. And then we get to the second command. And the way it's translated here, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And that phrase where it says, show hospitality to strangers, it's several words in English. Actually, there's just one Greek word that's translated in that way. And it's another Greek word that's made by combining two different words. It's that same word love, philos, as Philadelphia, but this time the second part is xenia, and that means a stranger. And so it's philoxenia. I never heard of a city named that. We have a Philadelphia, but nobody said this city is called philoxenia. Never heard of a city named that. But that's another Greek word, and it means literally love strangers. Love people that you just met. Love people that you don't know. That's the meaning of that word. And that's why it's translated show hospitality to strangers, not just to your friends or to the people you know. And so this is the second command that we have here in this list of instructions for the Christian life. And the strangers could be fellow Christians that we just met, or it could be people who are not Christians. And then it says at the end of the verse, some people, by doing this, have entertained angels unaware, that without realizing it, they actually have invited angels in for a meal or to stay in their home. And you wonder if the writer of Hebrews was thinking back to that story about Abraham back in Genesis 18, because that's exactly what happened to him. And he says, well, maybe that's happened some other times too, that an angel has appeared in human form, and when you look at them, sometimes they're indistinguishable from an ordinary human being. Angels can appear like that. And some people may have offered to have a stranger come and share a meal with them, and it may turn out that that was actually an angel. Well, it was kind of intriguing. I wonder if any of us have done that without being aware of what's happening. We don't know. Abraham didn't know either, at least in the beginning, that these were angels. So many have entertained angels unaware. And the interesting thing about this command, unlike the first one, is the way that it's worded. It doesn't say, continue to show hospitality to strangers. You notice what it says. It says, do not neglect. Don't forget about this. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Because it's something that we can very easily forget. It's something that we can very easily neglect. In fact, the way this is worded in the Greek tense, you could translate it, stop neglecting showing hospitality to strangers. Because it assumes they probably are neglecting it. That's the idea behind the way this command is expressed. So you see a contrast when it comes to showing brotherly love. Hey, you guys are doing great. Keep on showing brotherly love to one another. That's important. And then when it comes to the second one, hey, stop neglecting showing hospitality to strangers. You're not doing that very well. That's very easy for us to forget. That's very easy for us to neglect. And so you see a real contrast in the way these two commands are expressed. And I want to share a few other examples in the New Testament. Most of the times in the New Testament, when you see this word hospitality, it's the same Greek word. And it means showing hospitality to strangers. You know, one example is when you look at the requirements for overseers, and that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. So there's a long list of qualifications here for people that should be in a leadership position in church, many different things. But one of them is, oh yeah, they need to show hospitality to strangers. That's an important qualification. And then there's another place this is mentioned, and it's talking about widows. And the early church had provision for caring for widows that needed to be cared for by the church. But there were some qualifications or requirements for them to receive this support. And that's discussed in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And it says this, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, and has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good works. That's a pretty long list of requirements. And so it's talking about these widows. They don't have any family left to take care of them. They're over 60, and they've lived this kind of exemplary godly life. And it's saying these people deserve to be supported by the church. And one of the requirements is that they've shown hospitality to strangers. And then one more place it's mentioned is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. And it says simply, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. It says one another, so it's talking about fellow Christians. It says hospitality, so it's talking about showing hospitality to other Christians who we don't know. They're fellow believers, but they're strangers to us. They're not friends, they're not relatives, they're not part of our church. They're somebody that you just met who's a believer. And it says do it without grumbling. You know, I like that because the Bible's honest about things like that. It's easy for us to kind of, grumble. You know, I guess I should do this. I don't really want to, but I kind of need to, so I'm going to do this. You know, it says do it without grumbling. I don't know about you, but sometimes I grumble. Say, okay, I need to do this. I don't really want to, but I should. It's the right thing. And so we grumble. It says do it without grumbling. Do it cheerfully. Do it joyfully. And care for those people. And unlike the first two, this is not for a particular group. It's not just for the overseers. It's not just for the widows who want to receive support from the church. It's just everybody, right? All Christians, we have a responsibility to show hospitality or show love to strangers. And so, you know, it's important that we understand the meaning of this word, because when we talk about hospitality, a lot of times the idea is, well, I'll invite my friends over to my house, and next week my friends will invite me over to their house. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to do that. That's part of showing brotherly love, but that's not the biblical word hospitality. This word hospitality means to show love to people that you don't know, people that are strangers, people that are new, people that are different than you are. Maybe people who have a different background. That's more challenging to us. That's why it says, stop neglecting this. Because I think it's very easy for us to not do that. And it's kind of hard for us sometimes to do it. So what about us? You know, as I think about a passage like this, you know, for me personally, I know some of you may not realize this, probably most of you do, I'm more on the introvert than the extrovert side. I enjoy, you know, sitting quietly with a cup of tea and reading a book. I don't enjoy loud parties. And so I'm more of an introvert, and so I think it makes it even more challenging to reach out to welcome and show love and hospitality with strangers. I'd rather be with people I know well. I'm more comfortable with that. And maybe some of you feel the same way. I think for those of us that are introverts, it's probably even more challenging to do this. I'm not saying it's easy for anybody, but I think it's maybe a little harder for us. How many people here would say, yeah, I'm an introvert? Okay, like three people raise their hands. So okay, see everybody who raised their hands right now? So if you didn't raise your hand, I expect you to invite a stranger to your house for dinner tonight. Because you didn't raise your hand. Of course, the problem is people who are extreme introverts are not going to raise their hand no matter what I say. They're just not going to raise their hand at all. So I know that. I got your number. But, you know, the truth is, I think it's challenging for most of us. You know, probably some more than others. Some people are probably absolutely terrified to invite a stranger into their home because they're just extremely shy or introverted. But we are told to stop neglecting, or don't neglect, showing love to strangers. You know, and whenever we talk about a topic like this, you know, on a fairly regular basis, I'll hear people say, well, Pastor Ken, we have so many needs in our church. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people need care. And that's all true, and we do need to care for them. Let brotherly love continue. But the implication is we're not ready to welcome new people. We're not ready to reach out to people who are outside of our circle. And the problem with that is I don't know if we'll ever be ready. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to a group of mostly Jewish Christians who have had to flee their homes, many of them, because of persecution. Some of them had their property confiscated. Some of them were threatened with prison. Some of them didn't know where their income was going to come from because they lost their job because of their faith. I think they had some problems too. And the writer of Hebrews says, stop neglecting the love of strangers. I think there are probably some churches somewhere who focus so much on reaching out that they just totally neglect to care for each other. There are probably a few churches like that, that are just super intense on continually reaching new people. Maybe a few churches are like that. I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever been part of one. But I think the vast majority of churches, I think probably 80 or 90% of churches tend to be on the other side. We are comfortable hanging out with our friends, with be together, with people we've known for years. And it's very easy for us to neglect showing love to people who are new or different. And so we end up with a situation where our fellowship becomes a closed circle. And we're having our happy Christian fellowship together, and it's pretty hard for somebody who's new or different to join the circle and become part of that. I think that's the challenge that every church faces. Because I think our natural tendency is to be like that. And that's why the writer to Hebrews says, stop neglecting showing hospitality to strangers. So how can we care for new people, for strangers, for different people? How can we help them? How can we help them fit in? I want to share a few suggestions for you. Some of them have to do with what happens here on Sunday morning. In general, how can we welcome people? Well, when there's somebody new, whether they're here on Sunday morning, whether they come to a fellowship meeting or a Bible study, try to put yourself in their shoes. What's it like for a person when they first walk in the door? What would help them to feel welcome here? Think about the questions they might have. I think one of the things I discovered when I came here as a pastor is this building is really confusing. You know, if we say, hey, afterwards we're going to have refreshments, it's like, okay, where's that? You know, and come on Friday night, LED sometimes has met in a classroom that's up on the third floor. And we invite somebody new, chances are 9 out of 10 that if somebody shows up here on a Friday night, they won't find that room on their own. Because to get to the third floor, you have to go up this stairway, not the other stairway. They don't go to the same place. There's two stairways, but upstairs, it's not all connected. And so it's just weird. And so we say, hey, come to our fellowship meeting, and then I wonder if people sometimes have come and turned out and left out of discouragement. I mean, we can't necessarily remodel the whole building, but to anticipate that, how do we help people feel welcome? It was about 2 weeks ago, we were here just before the English worship, and somebody came in and just started kind of looking around, kind of like they're figuring out where they were going to go, and I found out it was someone who was a Mandarin-speaking person. And they'd been invited for the Mandarin worship, and so naturally, they walked in the front door of the sanctuary. I mean, wouldn't that make sense if you're looking for a worship service to walk in the front door? So they were here, and like we were all, you know, they were singing in English. We were getting ready for the service to start. So I started, unfortunately, I speak a little Mandarin. So I started, you know, chatting with them. Said, oh, you're looking for the Mandarin service. And so at first I was going to say, well, you go through that door, and you go around through the gate, and then you go that way. And I thought, you know, that's going to be too complicated. They may or may not ever find it. Instead, I said, come with me, and I'll show you where it is. And so I walked over there, to the door of the growing hall and said, "It's right in there." And they were so grateful. That's the kind of thing that we all need to do. You've been in this church a long time, many of you. You know all the secret nooks and crannies. There's probably some extra rooms I haven't found yet. You know where they are. But somebody who's new, they have no idea. They don't know where to bring their children if they have children for children's Sunday school. They don't know where to get refreshments. And if somebody wants to join the adult Sunday school class, what are the chances of them finding the secret room under the church office? They're probably never going to find that. Not unless somebody says, "Okay, why don't you come with me and I will bring you to the class." You see what I mean? We have to all be hosts for everyone who's new. It's not just one or two people that can do this job. We all need to do that. We need to have that mentality. We're welcoming people who are new into our church home. Before or after the Sunday service or the fellowship meeting, don't make them sit alone. Somebody new comes in, they look around, they sit down. Sometimes they're sitting all by themselves. That's not very welcoming. You know, it's, "Oh, look, here's somebody new. Go sit by them." And I've seen some of you do that. Keep it up. We want to put ourselves in their shoes. How would you feel if you walked into a church and nobody sat by you and nobody talked to you? You wouldn't come back. Now, some of you have been in this church for decades, and it's a long time since you've looked for a new church. But maybe on vacation, or if you're out of town, you may visit another church. A couple years ago, I was on vacation in Montana, where my family lives, and I went to a church I hadn't gone to before. Afterwards, you know, and I never knew anybody there. And afterwards, you know, I was chatting to people. I said, "Hey, we're going to go out to lunch. Why don't you come with us?" That was very welcoming. You know, they didn't just go hang out with their friends, but they said, "Why don't you come with us?" And we just met. That created a very warm feeling, that they were welcoming me like that. You know, it's an example, the kind of thing we can do. Don't make them sit by themselves. If they seem a little unfamiliar with the Bible, when I say, "Okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and they go, "What's a Hebrew?" You know, and what's a chapter? And so you can share your Bible with them or your Bible app. Say, "Hey, here it is." If they take a paper Bible, I mean, a lot of people don't realize we still have Bibles printed on paper, but we actually do. But so somebody might be taking it and looking at the index, trying to figure out where Hebrews is. Just help them out. Of course, you can only do that if you're sitting next to them. You know, just that kind of thing. Friday afternoon, I was at the memorial service for Joe's father, and I was sitting at the back, and there was somebody I didn't know sitting next to me who came in later, and they were referring to the program that we had. And so I was looking at that, and I looked and I saw this woman who was sitting next to me. She didn't have one. She didn't get one when she came in. She's sort of sitting there. So I went over, held it over so that she could look at mine. And apparently she speaks very little English, because she spoke to me in Cantonese. I don't know what she said. But, apparently, but I could tell by her smile. She was very pleased that I offered to share that with her so she could see it too, because I saw she didn't have one. And there was a warm smile because, you know, she felt welcomed because I shared that with her. You know, that's just a little thing, but little things add up. If we have that attitude of welcoming and caring for people we don't know, you know, that's a great thing to do. After the service, don't just say, "Oh yeah, we got some tea back there." Say, "Would you like to come with me? And we'll go back and get some tea and some whatever crackers or whatever we have back there this week. Say, would you like to come with me?" See, that's much more welcoming than say, "Oh yeah, there's tea back there. Hope you can find it. Good luck." We need to think about how what we do and say is perceived by people that are new. If you invite somebody to the service, don't abandon them and go chat with your friends. And most of you are good at sticking with your guests. But if you have a guest, introduce them to a few people. Say, "Hey, why don't we go back here?" You know, say, "Oh, I got a bunch of stuff I need to do now. See you later." And they're kind of like, You know, I heard a horrible story once that I'm never, ever going to forget. There was a girl who was in a different church. It was a girl who was a college student. She was sharing her testimony, and by this time she'd become, you know, a committed part of the church and follower of Jesus. But she shared the story about the first time she came. She said, well, after the service, we went into the fellowship hall where we had some tea, like most Chinese churches do. And she was standing there, and she told us this. She was sharing this testimony to the group. She said, well, I was standing there, and I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I didn't know anybody. She said, I was standing by myself. She said, that felt kind of awkward. So she said, I went over, and I started reading the information on the bulletin board. She said, I read the bulletin board 3 times because I wasn't sure what else to do. And I was standing there by myself. When I heard that story, I thought, it's amazing she ever came back. Amazing she came back at all. Listen, if you see somebody new reading the bulletin board 3 times, it's not because they're really interested in the bulletin board. Go talk to them. Don't leave them by themselves. It's like, wow, it's just amazing that she didn't just leave when that happened. Incredible. So introduce them to some other people, take care of them, invite them to Sunday school, invite them to fellowship group, you know, and you can help them connect with the people of a similar age. It's like, you know, if they're some of us who are a little bit older, you can say, hey, Juliana can tell you about the English Adult Fellowship. How would you like to join us? If they're younger, say, hey, here's Brian, here's Edwina, here's Osnuel, here's somebody from the LED group. Why don't you meet with them? Introduce them. Invite them to eat lunch with you here. Say, hey, would you like to come to Sunday school with me? And after Sunday school, it's like, hey, we have a lunch. Would you like to come? Guests are free. We have a free lunch. How would you like to come? You see what I mean? That kind of hospitality. It's not rocket science, but it's really important. During the week, you know, if you invite someone new or you meet someone new, get in touch with them. Send them a text. Call them. Invite them to hang out with you and your friends. Get them involved with the fellowship group. We want to move from the picture we saw earlier to this picture, where the new person is not standing outside the circle looking in, where they become part of the circle, where they're welcomed, where they show love. Loving strangers. It's an important part of the ministry of the church. And I know that sometimes these things do happen, and I've seen some of you go out of your way to talk to somebody that's new and visiting. But I'm sure it's an area we can grow and we can improve. And we can heed the instruction here in the book of Hebrews. Don't neglect the love of strangers. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a loving community where we can fellowship together and grow together and bear one another's burdens. And Lord, help that brotherly love to continue. And Lord, we pray you'd also help us to love those who are new or different or kind of strange in some way. Help us, Lord, to love them, because that doesn't come as naturally to us. That's a little more challenging sometimes. But Lord, help us to have a heart like your heart that reaches out and welcomes and loves them and invites them into fellowship with you and with us. Help us to be those people. We give you thanks and praise. We give you all the glory and pray in Jesus' name.